Support for Commodity Week comes from the Friends of WILL and from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign. With crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at AgriGold.com.
This is the April 20 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists today include Kirk Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing from right here in Champaign County. And Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. Do find us online at WILLAG.org. Bill, let's begin with you. And I'd like to stick away from the markets for the moment just a little bit and talk more about strategy as you think about getting your producers positioned not only this year but each and every year. What are the items that you try to have in place by the time you get to April? I'm assuming crop insurance is among them.
Yeah, of course, we always try to go through and get the crop insurance covered in that before that March 15th period. But as far as the marketing goes, I always try to kind of divide the year into different segments, and you know, the winter's kind of for the planning part of it, and we try to have some kind of a plan in place as we come out of the, you know, January, February period there. As far as specifics, you know, we kind of try to treat each farmer different, and depending on how much storage they have on farm and things like that, but we try to. This year we've come in and been pretty aggressive on selling beans, which I think most of the analysts have done. Corn's been a hard thing, and this past week, for example, we tried to make some sales on a certain percentage of corn whenever we got up there at $4 level on these corn. But for those guys this week that hadn't done that and were still sitting here with nothing on the books, I was looking at a couple of things. One was to go in and do some of these contracts where they combine basically selling a call with making a sale and give you something over and above the market price. The other was just go in and get some short dated new crop calls on and then get some kind of sale on the books, so we're still protected to the upside, but at least we have something there on the books at this point.
Well, the goal is naturally to move cash grain during the winter and early spring, and we kind of use this mid-late April as a benchmark. If we're not where we want to be, it's about time maybe consider some deep, cheap downside protection in case this market rolls over and doesn't really recover during the growing season. One thing we're looking at right now is we've done a little bit here in the last few weeks is courage calls. So if we do see the wet weather return or some hot, dry weather return and we start rallying, it'll give you the courage to really, really sell this time if corn goes back to $4. So there's a lot of different things you can do in through here. The key is having some type of plan and try to stick to it. As Bill hinted on there, it's one of these situations. Each individual is a little different, so you need to have a plan that fits your comfort zone.
Kurt Kimmel, of course, is with Bates Commodities. You mentioned courage calls. Can you explain exactly what one of those is, how it works, and what it's supposed to do for the farmers? You've kind of thought about what it's supposed to do, but what is it and how does it work?
Well, there are several ways you can tackle it. Each one's got a little different approach to it. For example, just for simplicity purposes, you can come in and buy a short-dated call or a $4 corn call. So when December corn futures revisits that $3.90, $4 level, you can go ahead and sell or hedge-derived corn at $4. Well, if we turn hot and dry and corn goes on up to $4.50 during the growing season, you got that call in place to kind of offset that sell a little bit so you feel comfortable that you didn't sell too soon. If you have a hedge on, it helps kind of offset some of the margin call somewhat.
And where do you try to place it? Is it above $4 when you buy it as an option?
Well, each strike price has a different value on it. It seems here lately we've been stalling out at $4. If we go above $4, these funds are huge, huge shorts in. That might trip some buy programs in to push it up if we get above that level. The next level is the 450. For the last couple of years, we stalled out at that 450 level. So you can buy a $4 call, sell a 450 call, help pay for it, and try to capture 50 cents in between there. There's real no correct strategy. The correct strategy is to have one in place that gives you some staying power and you're comfortable with your position.
Wayne Nelson, what kinds of things do you want farmers to have to you in the way of paperwork and the numbers that you're able to help them develop a marketing tool as you get through the beginning of the marketing years?
Well, you want to talk about, you know, how many acres of corn and beans you're going to be having. You know, we pretty much know what kind of crown that everybody is on when you talk to them. So we know whether to figure 150, 175, 200, 225 bushel corn and what we're going to have. So we know about how many bushels everybody's going to have that way. And we like to divide it up in percentages as we look at things. We say, hey, it's time we ought to have 10% or another 20% or add 15 or 20% as we go along. So that's one of the things we're doing. I love Kurt's idea with the courage calls. We've talked about those many times on the air here, you know, during the afternoon report and also during commodity week. You know, we put some of those on a while back. You know, we've been looking here just lately. We even used some of the May ones up until the last few days here in case we could have got a run up. We didn't pay much. We paid 2 to 3 cents for some of them with the idea if we could get up, why we would, you know, we could sell some cash corn. And I think that we're going to be looking at the July calls like that too, because I think that we are in a situation where everybody says, which means it generally isn't right, but we always have some sort of weather rally, especially if you've been watching like the agribull weather that we saw at the Aldi Outlook meeting. If you watched him this morning, he's talking about all sorts of extreme weather. Extreme weather is what I'll have to say. There's going to be hail, there's going to be wind, there's going to be a lot of things going on like that. We pushed everybody to do the maximum hail this year just because of what he said at that Outlook meeting and everything we see with all the hail hits. So, I mean, along the way, I think that we want to be looking for weather. We have to have something so we got the guts to sell it when it comes along. And if we're going to push pretty hard on this next sale, if we can get a run-up, because there's still a lot of corn in the world.
Do you suppose there's much volatility yet to come in this marketplace? Because it does seem like it's settled down quite a bit.
Yeah, I think so, and I think that's pretty typical. It's a seasonal situation on the volatility. You typically have more volatility in that May, June, July period than you do earlier in the year. And I agree totally with these guys, and that's basically the strategy I was talking about with the courage calls. The problem is that you don't know whenever. Right now, you can sit there and say, yeah, if we could get $4.20 corn, I'd go ahead and make some sales. But when you get to that point, something's going to be going on. It's going to be some kind of crop problem, more than likely. And you don't know whether it's a year like last year where you ran up, came back down in a very short period of time, or whether it's going to be a year like 2012 where it runs up and the weather is bad and it just continues to go. So that's where it allows you to go ahead and get the sales made and not have to worry about that possible second situation by having the calls on to protect yourself.
Just to add to the volatility part, Bill hit it on the head. Volatility is relatively low now, and as we go into the growing season, it picks up because you have a lot of ups and downs. But what we've been seeing is, though, huge commodity fund interest in the commodities, particularly grains, and they've made tons and tons of money by selling option premium. So therefore, they've kept a cap on some of these option values by collecting premium. And if you look at the volatility in general, front end is awful low in percentage compared to the back end. So long story short, the commodity funds are offering producers or traders some good buy opportunities in options because of the low volatility.
By that, do you mean they're writing the option? So explain what that means exactly.
Well, writing an option is basically selling the option. For example, they'll come in and sell a $4 corn call feeling that corn won't go to $4, or they'll sell a $4 corn call and be long the futures to kind of offset it. A lot of these funds use a combination. They are not really net long or net short in the marketplace on a huge amount because they can't maneuver or meet margin call. So they use these options as a hedge in general, and oftentimes they sell the puts and calls to collect a premium to help pay for some of their futures positions.
But to be clear, unlike when you buy an option, whether it's a call or a put, where you have a set amount of money that you are on the hook for, when you write it, you really are open-ended.
Correct. If you buy a put or a call and outright, what you most have at risk is whatever you pay for that option. When you write or sell a put or a call, it's unlimited exposure. It's great when you're right, but if it starts moving against you, you better have a plan because you are subject to margin calls.
So I want to go back to this volatility issue as it relates to some of the global things that might be happening. For instance, North Korea has been in the news for several months, and certainly for the last week with President Trump, the administration, and North Korea butting heads, for example. Does this create volatility in the marketplace? Can it create volatility in the marketplace? And are there things that producers should be watching on those international fronts?
Yeah, especially in the gold and the silver market and the dollar as far as it goes. We saw grains rally on the first indication of it. We saw gold and silver rally. Generally, when you're outside markets, the gold, the silver, the crude oil are somewhat indicators of funds coming in to buy things. And then they also bleed over and buy grains generally too. So that was good. And then when it settled down and he didn't shoot another rocket right away, or missile that way, we settled down, and then the volatility backed off, and we saw the cranes back off on Tuesday quite a bit because of that. We generally have turnaround Tuesday this week. We didn't have it because the little North Korean settled down and didn't do something stupid.
Donald Trump was back in the marketplace again, talking about the U.S. dollar this time, saying, hey, I want the dollar to be lower. This is unusual for a president to make any kind of a statement on the dollar, but he's an unusual president. Does it have an impact? Will it have an impact? And were you surprised that he said, hey, Janet Yellen, not so bad?
Yeah, I think that may have had some political reasons behind it as well, but I think that was a positive thing to the market whenever it happened to the grain market. I think that yes, it does have impact. I mean, I think a perfect example of that is to look at Brazil right now with their strength in their currency versus a year ago when they didn't have that strength, and the fact that we have such a low percentage of the beans sold right now down there, that's showing that the farmer is not getting as much for his soybeans as he'd like. Going back to the volatility, I was just going to hit that one time here. I used to explain that if I've talked to groups, volatility being comparing a 16 to 20 year old male driver with a 50 to 60 year old male driver and what you have paying premium on car insurance. That's kind of the same type of thing. The uncertainty creates just a higher risk and a higher premium cost.
Grain marketing in the U.S. dollar. I've done some intensive research study on this. In fact, I've spent many a nights studying this, but don't get too wrapped up in the dollar and grain market. You got to stick to your plan. For example, from last week to this week, the dollar dropped 200 points, corn dropped 12 cents, beans down 22, and wheat down 16 cents. So in reality, a weak dollar is supposed to prop prices up. It didn't do it this week. From the winter highs, the U.S. dollar is down 430, corn's down 26 cents, beans down $1.42, and wheat's down 55 cents. So some of these guys tried to do some correlation between the two. Well, it may work some of the time, but don't risk falling for this fake news and don't stick to your marketing plan.
What's your game plan at this point for the rest of the season?
Well, it's a little bit more than prey right now, but we've been working with guys on cleaning up old crop. A lot of guys have hung on to the old corn particularly. We're probably only 50% sold as a nation on old corn, so that's a strategy to get guys in a comfortable position. A lot of basis contracts have been written, so we got to kind of manage that. Right now, we're kind of buying some time in through here, but we're in our time window. If we don't get this grain market to pop, we got to do some conservative marketing here and protect the downside or else sell and defend.
Why is it that a basis contract seems to make so much sense at this point for old crop corn? Because I've heard this over and over and over for the past about 2.5 weeks.
Because when prices are cheap, the basis is generally tight because farmers aren't selling. So to entice them to sell, the grain elevator has to pay a tighter basis to get it, or it gets you to a point. When the price goes up, it still takes that same, it's $3.60 or $3.75 or $4 it gets corn to move. And when it's lower, the basis has to be tighter to get close to that to get them to move some corn. If you're an ethanol plant and you need corn and the price is down on the board, you have to pay a tighter basis. And when it goes up, it still moves at $3.75 or $4, so they can, as it goes closer to it, they can widen the basis out. So that's the idea, is you sit back, you wait, you buy your call. When it goes up, you're all okay. Or if it's just a basis contract, you don't have to buy a call because you're still in the futures market.
Yeah, I think Wayne hit the nail on the head there as far as the fact that the futures and the basis don't typically hit their best point at the same time. So you, as a farmer, you need to probably separate those two decisions in the standpoint of doing something with the basis when it's the best and then doing something with the futures when you think that it's the right price there. I also like that at this time of the year, as Kurt was talking about, allows you to get stuff off the farm if you have it in the bin out there, get it moved and take away the risk of going through the spring months here, and from the quality standpoint. So that's another advantage.
So you can move it. The disadvantage is that you don't own it anymore, and how much of a disadvantage might that be?
It could be a disadvantage in a market that's really looking for corn very, or soybeans, either one, very aggressively. Bases will probably be better. If you take a basis contract versus the July, and a producer needs to understand this, when you get to middle of June, bases could possibly be better than it is right now. And that's part of what you're giving up whenever you do the basis contract. And you have to compare that to getting the grain off the farm, getting a dollar advance on it, and those positives that are there.
So let's come to some of the fundamentals that are happening right now. Producers seem to be moving pretty rapidly this week. There was a lot of rainfall early on. However, in Iowa, Minnesota, Nebraska, it's been cold. It looks like they're going to get more rain. What do we think about how quickly the pace of planting for the corn crop is going?
Well, I think the top tier of states here, Dakota, Minnesota, northern part of Iowa, Wisconsin, those are the areas that are we here in central Illinois are pretty well along. I guess I think that the thing that it's done this spring is, I believe the market thought at one time there'd be a really nice, warm, dry spring here. People would get out there and plant more corn than what they had planned on planting in the planting intentions report. I think we've kind of changed that. I don't think we're going to have this spring where everybody's just going and planting additional acres. I think they're going to struggle in some areas of the country to get the corn crop in time.
So 90 million acres, that's the number, and numbers 1, 3, and 4, Iowa, Nebraska, Minnesota, moving slowly still.
Yeah, next week we're looking for corn progress to be 15-20% planted versus 28 on the average. I think we're probably longer term concerned about that last 30%, but we'll see how the weather unfolds in through here. But there have been a lot of beans going on the ground too, so there's a lot of moving parts here.
So we're moving pretty quickly, I suppose.
Yeah, Todd, I'd like to go back about the basis thing you're talking about. Right now, the farmers own a whole lot of corn. They don't own a whole lot of beans. The commercials own the beans. As far as basis contracts right now, the corn is not a real problem because there's plenty of corn out there, and every time we see a rally, we're going to see some farmers needing some cash flow, and the basis isn't going to rock it up. The beans are tight, and the commercials have got those, and so the basis got a better chance of improving on beans for this springtime than they do on corn.
So are you suggesting producers with beans in a bin take a basis contract?
No, just the opposite.
The opposite.
We're saying that the bean basis has a better chance of improving, where the corn basis probably is not going to see as much movement.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just heard you. I heard you backwards. That's okay.
So it's okay you asked. So maybe the farmer heard me backwards too. So we got it straight for how he knows after we re-asked the question.
All right. So here we are. Producers are running at this point. They probably have that part of the crop that they're going to market, old or new, done. They're really not thinking about doing anything else. You're telling us courage calls are a possibility that maybe they should do. Is there anything else in your marketing toolbox that they should consider?
Well, marketing, I think there's still half the old crop corn to be marketed. I think only 10% of the new crop corn is marketed. I'd say 90% of the old beans have been moved. It's in the commercials' hands, and they're kind of dealing with the problem. And I'd imagine a good 30% of the new beans have been priced. right now, their main focus is getting the crop in the ground, and I think they'll be more than happy to see some type of recovery here to add sales. Now they're comfortable getting some of the crop in the ground central on south.
By that, you mean cash sales?
Correct.
And what price would you like them to start again at?
Well, on the courage calls on the corn, December futures, we've got this 395 in our sights if we make sure we hold 380 here on the downside. As far as the beans go, you know, these beans get back to 1075, 1080, I think you got to jump on that.
Yeah, I guess I would agree with those levels. I think the best chance for any kind of significant rally in the corn is probably in that June period. So whether you're talking about the courage calls like we've been talking about or whatever your plan is going to be, the main focus has to be that if you get that rally in the market, have it in your mind what you're going to do at whatever levels. Let's say, what am I going to do at that 395 level? What am I going to do at that 410 level, that 430 level on December corn futures? 10 out of 10 years, we've gotten up to that 444 level on the December futures sometime during the growing season. So that's kind of the target area that we're pointing towards. We're not going to wait for that area to get everything done, but we need to have a plan as to what we're going to do between now and then. And also, of course, more important maybe, is the back door. If you don't get to those levels, what's your back door? In our case, I think we're looking at some point, you know, what that date is, mid-June, late June, you try to get some puts on to cover your downside.
Yeah, that was my next question, is having a plan for a sale with a target price where, I'll probably sell it when it gets there, but I should pull the trigger. But what happens if we just don't move, if we have a good crop year, if the season goes well, and we don't move the cash price? I need a second plan, too, in place, I guess, to make sure that I actually market the crop that's in the bin and don't end up dumping it at the end of the season.
Well, there's a couple things we can do and what we're looking at. Let's say for old crop, we're going to buy a July 370 call and sell two 390s to finance it, and that'll give you basically up to 410. Now, we're selling the cash. We're moving it out. We're saying if we got up to $4, we're going to puke it out anyhow, so we're figuring that's okay to do that. And that's one of the things we can do with old crop. On the new crop corn, we're going to buy a 380 December call and sell two 430 calls, and that, you know, it tops out at 480. Well, who in the world right now? I mean, yes, we have weather call, but we're not going to sell 100%. We're going to do another 20% here at these prices. So what? We're going to go in there. We're putting it in, so we have the right to go up another 40 cents in the old crop corn, another 60 cents in the new crop corn. Why not do some of that?
Well, plan B, basically our concern probably is the old crop corn, and there's going to be guys throwing the towel on it fairly quickly. So commercial storage, you got to add the cost. On-farm storage, there is some cost there, but a lot of plans are being devised here. Move the old crop corn and replace it for 10 cents on some type of option strategy. So if we do get that July or June rally in here, you can recoup 20, 30 cents to add to your bottom line.
How concerned do we need to be about the second crop corn in Brazil at this point?
Well, I think there'll be competition to us. We've seen some pretty big numbers come out from the analysts as far as what that crop's going to be. We've got a ways to go to know exactly what kind of level we're going to have. But I think that everybody's pretty much under the assumption that we're going to have a good crop down there. So, yeah, it's competition to us. We continue to run exports, so if you look at the export sales today, we continue to run exports better than expected. So I guess I feel like there could actually be a little bit of an increase in exports on corn. And, you know, we'll see as we go along if there's any concerns there in their second crop corn as well as here in our growing crop as we get it planted. I guess I feel like there's going to be some volatility this year. Nine times out of ten there is, and we just have to figure out when that opportunity comes how to best take advantage of it.
So we have a 90 million acre corn crop, supposedly, or will. And right now, I suppose you'd say that's probably what's going to be the case, given the planting pace that we have. That should draw down stocks some, I would think. How much downside risk do we really have in this marketplace?
Well, that's a good question. Domestic-wise, we can draw it down. It depends on the yield. That yield's going to move that bottom line more than anything. If we're at trend line yields, we could be in this 2.1, 2.2 billion bushel carryout estimate if demand stays the same. But you start shaving 5, 10 bushels off, all of a sudden we're below 2 billion, 1.8, 1.7. You got weather. And then the opposite, too. Weather cooperates. You add 5 or 6 bushels, you know, we're hiring through here. But two, we got to remember, we got large global supplies of grain, not only corn, but wheat and beans. We only use export 15% of our corn. We have 36% of the world export market in our hands. And if we don't capture some more export business, the ideas are we can ship down to 33% of the export share. So exports are important. They're a small fraction. Probably what's more of a driving force longer term in corn is going to be feed demand.
Let's wrap things up just a little bit here. Wayne Nelson, I think I'll start with you and get a final word, please.
Well, Todd, we've got a lot of planning going on. We've got a lot of non-planning going on, depending on where you're at. I think they're 60% done or 0% done, and we're going to be watching that and the weather very closely. It's going to be the weather that drives this market for right now, and we're watching our weatherman real close.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities. He's out of New Market, Indiana. Bill Mayer is from Strategic Farm Marketing from right here in Champaign County.
Yeah, Todd, you had asked about drawing down the stocks. I guess here's my numbers. If you use a 14.3 billion usage number for next year and a 90 million acre planted, that's about 82.8, I think, harvested acres. That comes out to about 174.2 is about the yield you need to keep the stocks even. I think it's likely or possible, certainly, that we get concerned about having 174.2 to yield this year, and if we start to see the stocks draw down, that's when we get our opportunity. So there again, I just want to reiterate, there are some reasons why we could see a rally. We just need to be ready to take advantage of it, because there are large stocks. You know, there are other reasons that we're probably going to have a cap rally. We're not going into this thing like we did in 2012, where we were starting out with a pretty low carryout number to begin with.
Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Your final word?
Watch the cattle complex. It's going to be kind of interesting here. It's already been defying all the laws that we've been working with over the years. But the commodity funds are huge long. Open interest in June fats are 188,000 contracts. The hedgers on the opposite side. We're going to start to see the Goldman roll come here real quick. And so they got to move those longs from June out to August. And so we're kind of watching the bear spread between the two in here. As they start to roll that, they're going to have to sell the June and buy the August. But once that rolls, then watch out, because if that cash still is trading 130, 132, it's got some upside.
Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. Do find us online at willag.org. Our thanks to our panelists today, including Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing from right here in Champaign County, and Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. You be safe this week on the planter, and if you're in the back roads of rural America, be sure that you're watching out for those tractors. They're big, they're heavy, and they win. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at agrigold.com.